October 19, 2021, it's Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show, happy Tuesday. Started off with Blues to Elvin, my drummer man guest. Soon you get to meet him. John Coltrane, Blues to Elvin. Jonathan Wilson after that with Trafalgar Square. And because of those Skype inventors in Estonia, I have Brother Joey Warnaker. Welcome aboard, Joey.
Thank you. Hello.
Absolute. In your music journey, I should enlighten the listeners the fact that I first discovered your drumming in Power Trio, Walt Mink.
Yes.
But I want to get into it before that because, all musical paths lead to now, but let's try and chase down yours. Please bring your earliest musical memory, Joey, please.
My earliest musical memory is, I grew up in a musical house, so... but the strongest memory to me was my uncle, who was a drummer.
God.
And I really wanted to play drums, but I couldn't figure it out. And he noticed that I was left-handed. And so he got me set up with a little drum set that was set up left-handed. And he gave me Led Zeppelin 4, and he said, listen to this and see if there's anything you want to try and learn and I can show you. And I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I played along to that record for every day, all day, for I don't know how long.
Now, you know, I think if you were Southpaw, you just had to go with it, right? But there was one rock and roller, Deep Purple's Ian Paice. I think I'm left-handed. I'm going to play left-handed. Were you aware of him at that time?
Not at the time. I had no idea. And I think I was just a little kid, and, like, I would show up. Like, I remember there was a neighbor who had he was a teenager, and he had a drum set. And I would go over there, and I just couldn't play it. And... I couldn't figure out why, because I knew it was in me. I just had to, and then thinking back on it, I think it was because I had already been like kind of air drumming and like setting up pillows and pots and pans with spoons and stuff like that. So I'd been setting them up left-handed and doing it that way. So I thank the higher powers for my uncle.
Totally. Were you ever tempted to try other music instruments? Was there other musical instruments in the pad you grew up?
Oh, yeah. You know, I had that funny thing where, you know, as all what like, you know, we do as parents, whatever. Like, I think that my parents knew that I wanted to play drums. And when I was like probably 7, they were saying, you know, if you can do piano, then you can do... you can move on to drums, but I just like never connected. And I tried through the years. I would go back and try and take piano lessons and guitar lessons. And I don't know if I didn't have the discipline with those instruments or something. And so I actually never learned another instrument. I can pretty much play drums and barely play keyboards. And I mean, I know chords and all that on guitar, but useless.
What about the first record you bought with your own money?
Let me think about this.
Remember, it's a Walk for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
I know. Because I used to go to this, and I can't remember. I wish I could remember what it was called. I used to go to the used record store, and it was such a great thing. I would buy, like, I think the first records I was buying with my own money were, like, Frank Zappa records. And it was cool. Like I would buy them and then bring them back and trade them in for something else.
You repurposed. What about the first gig you saw, Joey?
I know what it, that was a cool thing. I had access to a lot of cool gigs, but I know that my mom tried to take me to see Jethro Tull, opening. I think they were playing with the Grateful Dead. And I was probably 5 or something, and it scared me so badly. She had to take me out of there. It was too scary.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. At school, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I didn't have that because my parents sent me to a fancy private school, which I'm very thankful of. And so I have a crazy story about that, which was my friends, Rachel and Petra and Tanya Hayden and Josh Hayden were all students with me, and their dad, Charlie, one of the great jazz bass players. He taught the music class.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I was going to ask, is that how you learned traditional grip? Right. Because the people before trap sets, right. You slung the drum. And so you had to have that kind of technique.
That's right. That's the only way you'd be able to reach.
Right. The match grip, it was different. And trap, right? Contraption. Kind of a thing is still in a process. In fact, you made some contributions with that double hi-hat trip, the toe and the heel. But we'll get to that later.
Thank you.
You know, one thing about going to a trippy school like that, maybe, you still had afternoons off. So did you do the garage band, basement band, bedroom band trip?
That's right. That's what it was. So I was always in bands, but then something happened where I met a much older musician who's still one of my closest friends, Smokey Hormel.
Oh yeah, guitar man.
Yeah, guitar man, and he recruited me when I was 14 to be in all these bands that he was playing in LA. So I started, kind of doing gigs when I was 14.
Whoa. Do you remember your first gig?
Yeah. I was in, it was so cool. He had the idea to get me in this band that he was in. I wonder if you knew this band. They were a Western swing band called the Radio Ranch Straight Shooters.
Oh yeah. I remember that.
Awesome. Yeah, I was in, there were a lot of members, but so I was in that band for a while. And the first gig I'm pretty sure that I did with them was at Gorky's in downtown LA.
Right, Chow Pad by MacArthur Park.
Yeah. God, I can't even think of where it was. And my dad took me.
D Boone's pop took us to our first gig. We saw T-Rex. He sat with us.
Really?
I wouldn't shit you. At Long Beach Auditorium. They tore it down. It's a Long Beach Opera House now. And it's where they filmed some of the Don Kirshner rock concerts.
Oh, God, which I love so much.
So what was that first gig like at Gorky's? Your pop takes you. Was it a pants shitter?
I think I was, I got to say, I think I was hooked immediately. I was just so excited.
Yeah, and so it was a success.
It was a success. Yeah. I knew somehow I could do it. And I got to say, so I've always been totally comfortable in, kind of like that part of the stage, playing drums behind the drum set. But, I cannot give us, a toast at, a family function.
Right. Danger, Will, Robinson. Yeah, but different role. Wrong role for the actor. Yes. Maybe there's some music here. Chemtrails from Mr. Beck. Let's listen.
Oh, And it's also the end of broadcasting for Thursday, the end of broadcasting
seven
for 1970.
7 in Beardale, 9 decreasing 6 in Humber later. Rain, then showers, moderate or poor becoming good. Southwesterly, 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9.
At the third stroke, it will be 11, 24, and 50 seconds. At the third stroke, it will be 11, 25.
This is the British Broadcasting Corporation.
At the third stroke, it will be 55,
otherwise variable 4, mainly normally in southeast.
A happy new year to you.
At the third stroke, it will be 11, 25, precisely.
Good night, everyone.
For Pedro Show. That show can music start off with Joy Mr. Beck doing chemtrails. And listening up the overdrive from Bombas Prendon, DC area. Deerhoof's got a new album and this tune, Our Philosophy is Fiction. Landowner after that from England with Old Connecticut Money. Chris Scroger out of Belton, Texas. Yeah, he just moved there. Put down that phone. Maybe a Hinson tune he covered. SLWCC Watt, that's my collaboration with Sam Locke Ward out of Iowa City with Retribution. Thud, brand new. K's on this, her old buddy Glenn. And then finally, The Last Refugee, Roger Waters with Joey Warnicker. Back to Joey's Journey Through Music story. So you broke the water with that Gorky gig and the Radio Straight Shooters.
Yes.
So you're learning other people's tunes.
That's right.
But you know, what about the idea of a drummer as a composer? Maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but were you even entertaining that notion then?
No, not yet. Because I think in my mind, I was like, the goal for me was to be like John Bonham. I was like, I was going to be
a little
band.
Small target, little minor target. Very reachable, and yeah, I'll pick Mr. Bonham. Yeah, I'm going to be him. Yeah, okay. Make it be so. No, it's great. I just wonder, a little ahead of myself. So you get to go fucking do music school, or the music portion of school, with Charlie Hayden. Can you think right now, off the top of your head, the most important things he taught you about music?
Well, the most important thing for me was, probably definitely not the heaviest thing that he was, you know, imparting to us, but I immediately picked up that he wasn't a big fan of the sound of drums and cymbals. And and
what do you
his
play,
whole
Billy
thing.
Billy Higgins and yeah, a lot with Ornette, right?
Yes.
I got to see Billy when Raymond took me to Catalina to see Billy Higgins once. And we're on the next table, right? I'm 10 feet from the guy, and he looked. It was my gig. He stared at me the whole fucking gig.
Awesome.
I know. It was beautiful. I couldn't believe it. It was like my private command performance. Anyway, Mr. Hayden, he didn't dig cymbals and the drums.
So I learned that in order to play with him, I was going to have to be really quiet.
Yeah. So you learned dynamics.
I learned dynamics from him because it was a necessity. That was the only way anyone was going to get to play drums. It was amazing. And he did stuff like, this is cool. He would do rehearsals for gigs and you know, our class would be the rehearsal.
Yeah, the lesson is the prac.
Pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah, pretty up, like a little combined, little twofer.
Possibly, you know, not having to figure out where to rehearse, but.
There's the prac pad is the classroom. Yeah, very efficient, but, Mr. Hayden. But I'll tell you, that dynamics, and I've learned this playing with drummers.
Yeah.
Especially snare drum. You can't beat the shit out of that mother. It sounds terrible. It sounds like a hungry seal. Timbali, right? Yeah.
Perfect.
Now you can beat up toms and probably get better tone, but man, you got to work a snare. There's a technique. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. And I had to learn that with Charlie. And and I got to see, you know, they would have rehearsals, so it'd be like Billy Higgins and Pat Metheny, like in the class, the classroom.
Oh, fuck.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah. That's a really fortunate thing. So he taught you dynamics, and that is great, man, because that's something, that's a lesson you never lose. It's going to be applied to almost fucking every situation, and you know. And some people, they never learn it. It's a lifetime thing that they never get. Let me ask you this. After school, graduating, higher education, you pursue music, right?
Actually, I kind of did I wasn't sure what I was doing with my life. I was like, am I going to be a drummer, or do I need to like step back and look at the big picture a little bit? I knew, and I wanted to like move from LA, see what that would be like. And I had a friend who was living in Minneapolis.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So I kind of came up with a scheme. I was like, okay, I can like, you know, keep going, go to college and then be in Minneapolis. And also I was, you know, at that time, like heavily, Husker Du was already, they had just broken up, but that, you know, I was such a fan of Husker Du and, you know, pretty much all SST bands.
Yeah, that's true. We put out Husker's first album.
Yeah, yes.
Grant Hall, yes. Great drummer, man.
And I, yeah, so I just, I was like excited to be there and in that city and that scene and see what that would be like. And so, of course, you know, I ended up starting this band with my friend, and that's what became the Power Trio, Walt Mink.
Right.
And
that's
we, yeah,
I first
we
got to
we,
see you play.
That's right. Yeah, we were fortunate enough to open for you a couple times.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, was that the first band that like you started? You didn't like, because in SoCal you were joining other cats' bands, right?
Yeah, yeah, and even in school, like my like some of my friends would, you know, have like what my friend had a hilarious band called Urinalysis, and like I would be like the drummer in my friends' bands, but then I was doing these crazy gigs with
Smokey,
yeah, yeah, and then like from through him, like Dave Alvin, and yeah, and like so I was playing kind of more like, I don't know, blues and jazz and stuff like that. So it was interesting, but yeah, in my mind I was like, you know, I wanted to be, you know, like you, I wanted to be in a band, and you know, that ethos had sunk in, and I was like, wow, okay, John Bonham, I don't need that. Like, what if me and my friends got in a van and like saw the world that way, and you know, played shows and made music.
So you know, that, I remember Walt Mink reminded me of Bad Brains.
Mm.
A little
yes.
bit. Did you guys ever listen to those cats? Because in
a lot.
I mean, you were still your own band, but it reminded me a little bit.
Yeah, we were definitely like soaking in. I don't know, Bad Brains. You know, definitely Husker Du, Minutemen, Black Flag.
Yeah.
That was kind of. And then the thing was that my friend who I started the band with, he was the primary songwriter, and
John,
he was,
right?
Yeah, that's right. And he is, you know, just kind of like a masterful guitar player. And so, yeah, it pushed me in that direction. It was like, okay, well, you know, we're going to do, like, we want to be, you know, a band like our heroes, but at the same time, you know, like, it's going to be more like Bad Brains or more mathy, because John's like a shredder. And so I was like, I better keep up with him.
Yeah, he could play fast, man. And trippy singular voice. I could spot him. Like, do you remember the first Walt Mink gig?
Yeah. Well, cause we were playing like in colleges, and so we had figured out like, Walt Mink name came about because it was the name of like a really popular professor who's like at one of the colleges in Minneapolis where we were.
Golden Gophers.
He was at, there were like a ton of colleges, and, but he was at McAllister.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Music.
Yeah, and so we knew, like, we wondered if it would work if we made flyers, and we said, you know, Walt Mink will be in the basement at this
right.
party.
It's like calling
and
your
it
band
totally
free beer or nude woman or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like free beer and Walt Mencken. And it works like a charm.
All right, success. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, October 19, 2021. It is Watt Pedro Show special guest Joey Wanaker. Hold tight, fire, two. October 19, 2021, second hour, Watt from Pedro Show.
My friend picked me up about 5:15. We stopped and got some donuts and we took a little drive. We had a can of nitrous, we rolled the windows up. Now we're breathing deeply, breathing deeply. And there's a few in this truck, and I don't know if we're dead or what the fuck. There's a few in this truck, and I don't know if we're dead or what the fuck or what. Spent many years always trying to get high, smoking broken pencils and beating up kids, talking to the devil and drinking a Coke. Now we're totally rocking, totally rocking. And there's a few in this truck, and I don't know if we're dead or what the fuck. There's a few truck, and I don't know if we're dead or what the fuck or what. We got a good idea, so we pulled off the road. Got some Molly Hatchet going on the stereo. I said, let's roll up the windows and let the nitrous go. Now we can't stop laughing, can't stop laughing. There's a few in this truck, and I don't know if we're dead or what the fuck. There's a few in this truck, and I don't know if we're dead or what the fuck or what the fuck is going on.
And I really
don't think that I know what to do. It's in my shoe.
No!
Watch for Pedro Show, second hour. Start off with Beck doing Few. Joey Warnicker. Trubakova Krushna Pesci from Slovenia with Pace, which place, which translates to dance. That's what keeps hollering, people to dance. Moshe Doma from Ukraine with the Leningradsky Blues. Tisno Timpani Rinso Puspau from James Twig Harbor. Rubber O Cement. Brutal sound effects crew, North. Ray Shin, Eye of the Needle, and finally Get Free, The Vines, Joey Warnicker. Yeah, so I remember a news story. They found that these three guys in a pickup with a fucking nitrous tank on their lap, and they rolled up the window, and it suffocated them.
Yes.
And I guess that's what the fuck it do with them. Breathe deep. Yeah, okay.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And
Nothing funny, really. I shouldn't be laughing.
I know. It's a tricky one. And then, of course, the song's kind of funny.
Yeah, I know.
But I got to say, like, so I moved to L.A., back to L.A. in, like, 1993, I think. And I was living in where was it, like, La Cienega and Olympic. In this house with like a ton of people, party house.
Yeah.
And I'd met my sister had this friend, I feel really bad. Hopefully I'll remember his name. And he had a studio called Poop Alley.
Oh yeah.
That
rings a bell somehow.
Yeah. It was like at that time, I mean, he was just doing a lot of, I guess, you know, we could call it lo-fi, but he was recording a lot of stuff. And
this is kind of the era of Jabberjaw in K-Town, right? That coffee.
Totally.
Yeah, okay.
Totally. Total Jabberjaw era. And I had just moved back to L.A. and met him and then he called me up like a week after I got to LA and said, I need to do some drums for this guy Beck. And, you know, my studio, you live close to the studio, so maybe you could come down. And, so yeah, I went to to Poop Alley, which was like right nearby, like on Pico and met Beck and played that song, recorded that song, Fume. And, you know, from that point.
The first time you met the guy.
Yeah, that was where we met. And okay. we hit it off and, you know, became really good friends. And yeah, that was it.
Because you turn into like a drummer. You kind of go back to the 14-year-old mode. You're playing for other cats again.
Yeah, suddenly I met him and we became really good buddies and Walt Mink was like kind of at a fractured place. You know, happens to bands, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
the span of their arc.
I think so, yeah. and then I was going through kind of a musical weird thing where I was like interested in all these different kinds of music. And I was like, God, I wish there was, I think it was in the air, like, cause you know, Beck was clearly doing that, like, you know, blues and folk and hip hop and
whatever he wanted,
And just
instead of really
having to be
that way. Some genre oriented or driven trip.
Yeah. So I felt like, you know, that was where I was heading. And, but yeah, I kind of like took a turn away from, you know, doing my own thing. And then like, you know, I've been kind of like collaborating ever since.
Right. You gave me this, music, stuck together pieces. Let's listen. Rock for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with Adams for Peace doing Stuck Together Pieces. Then we had My Daddy Ate My Eyes. H is for Hosanna. Terza Staria from Stowe Carter Project. Lack is an Open Field from Love Bounded by Water. And finally, Ultra Ista with Small Talk. What's Ultra Ista?
So that's a band I have with my friends, Nigel Godrich and Laura Bettinson. And, Nigel is like, he and I have been kind of doing stuff together for a long time. And he's a guy who, you know, is known as a producer. He produced, mostly known as producing Radiohead's records. And then he produced a lot of stuff for Beck. And then we just at a certain point kind of had a conversation where, you know, we were both saying like, why aren't we doing our own thing? And then he had the idea like, hey, let's just make some music and do it.
And that's Ultra Ista.
And that's Ultra Ista, yeah.
So it was kind of like, not really gigs, but studio rock?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, we tried to do some, we did a little bit of touring, but yeah, and at that point, we were already like, you know, doing so much studio stuff. And then I'm not exactly sure what happened. We were having so much fun doing Ultra Ista. And then suddenly, Tom from Radiohead saying like, hey, we should do a project. And so then Adams for Peace started happening.
Ah, the other song I played. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so then
so they happened kind of around each other?
Yeah, kind of around each other. And we were doing a lot of shows.
Okay.
So that kind of meant less shows for Ultra Ista.
Ultra Ista was first, though, but then it got Bum Rush.
Yeah, so it was kind
say,
of...
So to say.
Kind of at the same time.
Okay.
Kind of at the same time.
Okay. And I'm going to take a guess, but Nigel sounds kind of England.
Exactly.
So
yeah. So
you guys trade files, or do you go over there?
I was actually spending. I think during that time, I was probably spending as much time in London as I was in LA.
Okay, understood. And about you've done remote stuff, right?
Yeah, and now that's been the mode for me.
Last 2 years, right?
Last 2 years, it's been pretty much like, kind of like almost every day.
But that's good, I think, man, because I've been using it as a lifeline just to stay sane, play every day. And even though, yeah, I made albums with dudes I never met, trading the files, I still think it's better than sitting on your hands and belly aching. Music.
I agree.
Incredible. Yeah.
That's so cool. So you're
yeah,
doing
I'm lucky
that
you know, a few years ago, I thought about get a Pro Tools thing for your pad, what? And just, you know, okay, I can't do drums, but I can do pretty near everything else. And people flow me things. And what better way, right? To stay in the live with music than keep music going every day in your life.
Yeah, it's so awesome. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And when I hear people like yourself, saying they're into it too. I just love the idea of motivated, inspired people. I think it's the best thing one music cat can do for another, truly.
Yes. Yeah, got to keep playing.
So, and these are still ongoing projects, this Adams and Ultra Ista.
I would say, well, technically, but it's been a while for Adams for Peace. And then Ultra Ista, I bet we could do more stuff, but recently both Nigel and Laura separately, they're not together, but they both just had kids.
Okay.
So that might slow it down.
Yeah, a little bit. We're at the, you know, a little bit about that, but you ain't slowed down.
Nope.
Some people are good with the jugglers. We're at the end of the second hour, October 19, 2021, this WAP Peter Show. Special guest Joey Warnicker. Don't take my three. October 19, 2021, it's the third hour of the WAP Peter Show.
Got a foot in the door. God knows what for. And he'll come. Stability drive. Everything here is free. Everything but you and me. This pain together drives. Stability drive.
I know you loved me more than you said. receiving department, 3 a.m. Staff cuts have socked up the overage. Directives are posted, no callbacks, complaints. Everywhere is calm. Hong Kong is present, Taipei awakes up. Talk of circadian rhythm. I see today with the newsprint gray. My night is colored. Headache, gray day sleeper. Day sleeper. Day sleeper. They're leading the blind with their international glory. I'm the screen, the blinding light. I'm the screen, I work at night. I see today with the newsprint gray. My night is colored. Say why. Fluorescent, flat, caffeine light. It's furious balancing. I'm the screen, the blinding light. I'm the screen, I work at night. I see the day with the newsprint gray. My night is colored.
For Pedro Show, start off the third hour with Elliot Smith, Stupidity Tries, Joey Warnicker on the drums, Reboot. These cats are doing a rendition of the Golem, the old story, kind of Frankenstein, Mary Shelley, got the idea from this older story. And so Reboot doing the Golem Part 1, Threshing Floor, play all one at a time. A few years after that, Cincinnati Biblical Names. From their new album, Team Dresch from Olympia, Donna Dresch, great bass lady. Temporary Insurance used to have a great fanzine called Chainsaw, and then REM. Last Minute Men tour was with REM. They're very nice guys. They're beautiful to us. With Day Sleeper. So, Elliot, how'd this happen?
Yeah. So. That connection would be, well, I'll never forget hearing his music. That was kind of through friends of Beck and Beck and himself. And then the dudes who were recording Beck were also recording Elliot.
Oh.
And so, like, I met him... like through Beck, he did some shows with us, and then he asked me to come and do some drums, and that song in particular was pretty awesome because So I was playing at that point, I was playing with R.A.M. I was their drummer. And,
Bill, something happened to his head, right?
What's that?
Something happened to Bill's head, aneurysm or something.
That's correct. Yeah. He had an aneurysm and it, yeah. And it made, he just decided he was totally, you know, recovered 100%.
Right.
And, but he decided to retire. It was pretty awesome. And I was talking to, I was doing stuff in LA, recording with Elliot and, Rob Schnaff and Tom Rothrock. And we were chatting and they were saying they really wanted to go to record at Abbey Road because they were all, you know, Beatles heads and all that kind of thing. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be in London with REM for like 2 weeks. And, so luck had it that they were there and booked some time at Abbey Road. And, I went and recorded that song with Elliot. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I got to record there once for a John Peel session with Jay Maskus.
Oh, amazing.
Just the history, right? It's like a row houses, it looks like. It's very unassuming from the outside.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just kind of like a nice residential neighborhood.
Right, right. Yeah. And then John Peel, you know, he hardly ever went to these, I was told, but he showed up at this one. And I asked him, because the back of the Tyrannosaurus Rex Unicorn album, he reads this poem. So I asked him about that, and he started talking about Mark Bolan, and he got really sad.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess he said he wouldn't answer the phone anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, it was heavy. I didn't mean to open any cat. I was just, you know, you meet a cat that you that heard his voice on the record, and then, yeah, that was really intense.
That's amazing.
He did great for Elliot here, though. Did you give any of these cats, REM, the Altria, Nigel, Adams for Pete, these guys, do they give you direction? Or what do they say? Just do what you
do? Yeah, I mean, like, the cool thing with Ultra Issa and Adams for Peace was that those were more like, you know, oh, let's try and make this a band. And like, even though, you know, it's in Ultra, in Adams for Peace, it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of like Tom and Nigel's, they're taking the reins creatively in the making the record, that's for sure. And Tom is definitely like, you know, we're all, I think, you know, to a certain degree, like following his lead. And, but he was, you know, he was also like, you know, wanted us all to do our thing and be autonomous a little bit. So that was cool. And then
bring something to the party. And I could just imagine Beck, maybe giving you a beat with his mouth, right? Maybe something like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can just imagine. Yeah. I, you know, I haven't been there. I'm not privy to it, but I, just knowing the man, I could just imagine him like doing the drum part with his mouth for you.
Totally. Yeah. Can you make it sound more like?
Look. Here's a trippy one I thought I'd never get from you. A trippy, trippy Who song. Let's play this.
Better to do than to shoot that gun. is in a sense keeping things at the level at which whiteness and white people remain at the center of the discussion.
After he had had that unutterable experience, he had to communicate it somehow in metaphors.
The trouble you reported recently is now working properly.
Radicals across America turn to art and music as a means of expressing their criticism of society.
What are you prepared to dismantle and prepare to build?
And this is perhaps one reason why the postmodern young insert the word like into their speech every couple of seconds to avoid the impression that they're being certain.
There's a war on consciousness.
And we learn to know lonely, like the earth learns to know dead.
It's bad, but that's what you expected anyway.
An imitation.
You've got to take the epicenter of the shame and turn it around into your identity.
I'm not the big, you got to make a distinction.
Someone cleaning it up, meaning showing how brutal it really was.
An urge to offend this smiling man.
I had forgotten my mask, and my face was in it.
Is consciousness as opposed to narrative.
I have advocated
for Pedro show, last music for this edition. This Gun Will Misfire by The Who. Good Fuck after that with Reality Jock, Hunger Jam. Tollum, some live at Tacumwa, number two, I guess it was the second piece he did. If Wanna, Al Margolis, Chester, New York, Scratch in Asia. And finally, Jamorro with No Air. Who's Jamorro?
So that's the me and the there was a percussionist in Adams for Peace, and he's from Brazil, and his name is Mauro Refosco. And so, like, we had just kind of kept making music, and that was file trading.
Okay.
Like we did hook up and do some, like, that we made a record basically, and we would, you know, got together and jammed and recorded the jams, and then kind of like traded files from there, and we were just kind of doing it for fun. And somehow during the, you know, the last crazy year and a half, 2 years, I guess that those files got into certain people's hands, and then Sony Masterworks wanted to put it out as a record, so we got to kind of like refine it and put it out. So it was really cool.
Yeah, I dig it big time. And tell me the story about this Who song.
Okay, so that was awesome. My buddy Dave Sardi was producing The Who, and called up several drummers, including my good friend Carla Azar. Yeah. I don't know if you know. Yeah, and had us, you know, play on a song or two or whatever. And that was another scenario where, like, I was in London not too long ago, like right before the literally right before the pandemic. I went and got to record with it was just Pete.
Pete played the bass.
It was really weird. Like, he, and I guess I learned a lot. Like, he, for a long, maybe almost always, like, he had demos, and a lot of times they were recording, playing along to, or replacing parts on demos. I didn't know that. I mean, being a huge Who fan, like, at some point I had like copies of some of his demos.
Sure, me too.
Yeah, but so like that's kind of his process, and then of course that's pretty normalized now. But it was a weird experience because, like, he was, you know, saying, don't be afraid to go crazy on the drums. And I think we both, I mean, to me, I was like, you know, I used to pretend I was Keith Moon when I was.
Yeah.
So I was like, you mean, are you, like, really? For real? And he was like, no, it's great. Keep doing it. Like, just be free with it. It's fine.
Let the freak flag fly. Oh, man, Joey, it's been fucking righteous getting to talk to you. We're out of fucking time now. When you get, I guess your most current thing is Jamorro?
Correct.
Fuck, we got to get you both on the air, and you could talk about that. We could play the album.
Oh, let's do it.
Okay, we'll do it, okay? In the meantime, we keep playing every day, like what? Or I'm going to be like Joey, keep playing every day.
Man, so great to talk to you. You have no idea.
Oh, right,
so
back.
Cool.
Truly. People, it's been the October 19, 2021, Just What Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.